Welcome to episode 15 of the Harsh Reality Podcast. I'm your host, DA. And today, I am proud to announce I'm joined by my esteemed co-host, El Miguel's gone, so scratch that. El Miguel won't be joining us for this episode. He has family issues going on, but he'll be here in spirit. But we do have the outspoken sister, Reese. Reese, where you at?
What's up, everybody?
What up, queen? And joining us on a special edition of the podcast, we have the KWAZ Radio family in the building. First, I have to introduce the author, scholar, and avid Pan-Africanist. From the pro-black perspective, please welcome the brother, Oni.
Peace, family. How you doing?
What's going on, Oni? And also, one of the biggest influences in terms of me, you know, deciding to start this podcast journey and create this platform. I am deeply honored to introduce from the Bitter Medicine Podcast, the brother Goku.
Hey, greetings, everybody.
What's going on? And as always, we plan on hitting the various topics revolving around the latest news, business, family, life, hip-hop, social commentary, and pretty much any recent headlines that affect our community. And I got to throw a disclaimer out there every episode. No, by no means are we experts, just a few melanated peoples with a small platform here to add our 2 cents to the various subjects we plan on discussing today. And also make sure y'all follow the KWAZ Network on YouTube as well as the various social medias of the Afro-Mission platforms. So firstly, I got to shout out MCS, Melanated Conscious Society, headquartered in Jacksonville, Florida. MCS is a mentorship organization teaching various life skills as well as knowledge itself to our youth. Make sure y'all go follow them on Facebook and Instagram for the latest news, meetings, and valuable information. And lastly, I got to say, the podcast is on Patreon. Please donate. And, of course, all proceeds go to upgrading the show and providing the best content that we can for our loyal listeners. Also, to be featured in our black-owned business spotlight, or if you're just reaching out to drop a comment or, you know, have any concerns with the podcast, you can reach us by email at theharshrealitypod@gmail.com. I kind of dropped the ball on the black-owned business this week. I messaged the, you know, business back, but they didn't get back to me in time for recording, so we're going to make sure we pick that up next episode. But without further ado, let's go ahead and get into the topics that we have today, and I'm definitely excited to have the KWAZ family to weigh in on some of these topics. So, first, we have the second wave of COVID, as they call it, coming in and affecting the black community. We just have a newly elected, president-elect in Biden, and a lot of concern has been voice the pet, especially I think in New York area where some of y'all brothers are from, with the mandatory vaccinations. So how do y'all think, you know, if they do the mandatory vaccines, how would that be implemented, and what do you guys think is next? I'm throw that out to y'all. Whoever want to chime in.
Well, I imagine that you know, they're going to try to get black folks lined up for this thing, right? Especially poor black folks lined up to do this because, well, you know, in this country, black folks have historically been the guinea pig. You know what I mean? So you could expect that to happen. Now, the thing about it is, like, you know, there is a possibility of a vaccine. I don't think that you could often get a good vaccine so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it has been, 8 months now, but, you know, maybe in a year and a half time, you could have a pretty decent vaccine that doesn't cause things like paralysis and all this kind of stuff, not to scare people or anything, but there has been, you know, that type of issue in the past in different countries like India and stuff, especially when you're talking about Bill Gates, you know, so he's actually being run out of some countries for his vaccines and stuff. So I just want our people, because that's what I'm concerned with, to be smart and to be you know, to be watchful of the situation, you know.
Definitely. You got anything on that, Oni, since you, I know you're in the New York area as well, I believe, so I know they're pushing hard with Cuomo, so what do you think about the mandatory vaccines that may be coming down the pipeline?
Well, I haven't really seen anything about mandatory vaccines. I'm not convinced that they would have mandatory vaccines, but if they did, it'd probably be for people who use public institutions, like either a public school or maybe if you want to travel, to another country. But the thing is that we already have mandatory vaccines to travel to other countries, particularly if you want to go to Africa, you kind of have to get the yellow fever vaccination. So, you know, I mean, as far as I understand it, I mean, unless it runs out, or if some way or somehow you can, in fact, you know, get a doctor to sign off or whatever. But as far as I'm concerned, I don't really think that is a way that they're going to do this mandatory vaccination, except mm-hmm. that maybe, you know, for school. And if it's for school, then, you know, I mean, like, I mean, I personally don't try to participate in the public school system, so,
you know. Big old facts.
You know, there's, I mean, good luck with anybody who does it. I mean, I know most of us do it, but, you know, I mean, you know, it's just a big S-H-I-I-T, you know, like, shit, you know.
Exactly. What you got, Reese?
Yeah, you know, too, there's some jobs that, excuse me, there's jobs that make you have, you know, to get vaccinations. Like, I know I had went for a certain job one time, and they were telling me I had to get the flu shot, and it was mandatory. But what I really think is, I think that flu shot might kind of be like the coronavirus vaccination as a light version, you know what I'm saying, to see how people react to it or, you know, as a trial run.
Yeah, I feel you on that. One thing I will say is, they must think we some damn fools, like the Tuskegee experiment was 200 years ago. Cause the one thing I do say in terms of when they talk about rolling out this vaccine, they want to vaccinate the most affected community. And they've been pushing that the black community is the most affected community, right? However, when they say this, they're not taking into account the food deserts that black community, the lack of nutrition in some of the black communities, right? So they're not even talking about, you know, the root of the problem. They're more concerned about pushing a vaccination, which there has never been an mRNA altering vaccine, I don't believe, correct me if I'm wrong, that's been rolled out, you know, successfully yet. On top of that, they've never even rolled out, I think the average time for a vaccine to get approved has been, what, 5 years is the quickest? So, you know, that's that issue. And, like I said, why would you want to try us first? They already had Bill Gates, you know, like Goku was saying earlier, run out of Africa for supposedly, forced vaccinations. And, they were accusing them of, you know, causing infertility. And I believe in some people and things like that nature. So and on top of that, I want to say, what's this virus has 90, if you're a healthy individual, of course, if you don't have any comorbidities, I want to say it's over a 99% chance that you'll be all right. Like you'll pretty much like the flu. You'll get it and you'll come out. Hopefully, if you're, you know, in decent shape and, you know, and all that. So that's, I'm like, I would never take something that's unknown for something that 99% of the chances I can beat with my own immune system. That really makes no sense to me at all. So that's one thing I definitely would be, you know, and I'm not even sure if that it's constitutional at all to even mandate a vaccine for a coronavirus. That's something I would have to look into, but I definitely would be apprehensive if I was in the black community and they were rolling out that vaccine on terms of that.
I completely agree. I think that we have to realize that, I mean, like you said about the constitutionality and all that, it's pretty unlikely that they would mandate it. But, you know, like you said, it could be for, like, professional reasons or whatever. So I would advise, of course, black people, you know, we have to, you know, either pull out of the public school system, but also, you know, try to seek self-employment in some capacity. Because without that, it's like you're at the whims of other people. Because actually, I have a friend, I should mention, in the UK, who was told that she had to get tested for this coronavirus. She's one of the, you know, COVID deniers, right? You know, so she's like, no, I don't want to get tested. No, the test that they were involved had to do with collecting her saliva or something. And she was like, that's a DNA test. You know what I mean? Now, yeah. I'm not going to say it's a DNA test. I'm not going to say whatever. But, you know, I mean, she didn't want to do it, so then her job just indefinitely terminated her contract.
Wow.
You know
wow.
What I mean? So it's like, you know, down the pipeline, you know, obviously are, you know, like you have to, as a black people, because like you said, you know, if you're healthy, if you're physically healthy, you know, you could beat the thing. But as well, if you're economically healthy, you could beat this thing. You know what I mean? So, you know, I mean, like, a lot of our people are going to suffer, but, you know, you don't have to. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean?
Definitely. I think you hit a very, you know, good point in that, in saying that I don't even think it's going to be the government to, you know, force the vaccinations or whatever. But if you want to keep your job, we already know the medical profession, they have to, you know, get certain vaccines to work in the medical field. Also, you've seen Ticketmaster try to roll out that thing where they said you had to get the vaccine or have a negative test to go, which they rolled back eventually after they got so much backlash. So, and then to go to any sporting events, that's how I think they're going to get you. If you want to go to any sporting events, you want to get on a plane, you want to go to a concert, you're going to either have to have that vaccine or you're going to have that test. And that's going to be where they get you. And after so many tests, you know, especially if they're doing that PCR test where they're stuffing, you know, the swab up your nose, you're going to be like, all right, just get the vaccine and just rather than keep getting, you know what I mean? But I think the PCR test in itself needs to be examined. Like I said, if you crank that sucker up to 60 cycles, I don't know how many people know about cycles, but the recommended cycles is 30 cycles to, you know, test somebody to see if they have a virus or, you know, if virus is present in the cells. So if you crank that sucker up 60 freaking cycles, 100 cycles, you probably find HIV on the freaking branch, you know? So I think we need to do more investigating. That's why I say if you got this smartphone in your hand, you can use it for more than taking selfies and sexting, right? You got the library, every library of every book at your disposal, right? You can look up anything. Now, you got to be careful what you look up because there's a lot of disinformation out there. But if it's something that affects your life so greatly as this COVID thing, you should do some investigating in terms of, you know, the PCR testing, what kind of testing they're rolling out, what may happen. Basic virus theory, you know, basic germ theory. Most people don't know what the hell basic germ theory is and that there's more theories than germ theory, right? So that's the one thing. And one thing I hate is when people say you have to trust the science. Science is made to be debunked. You win a Nobel Prize for debunking science, right? So if you are of, you know, average intelligence and you should be able to you be apprehensive of everything you see and make sure you study, learn as much as you can, particularly if it's something that's going to affect you. And then, like I said, they're taking kids and, you know, vaccinating them. People don't even know how many people get hurt by vaccines every year, just a regular old flu vaccine. They have a whole fund set up. And I'm not a vaccine denier. I think some vaccines are very helpful. But I think when you it went from, I think, when I was a kid to, what, 10 vaccines. Now you're up to, like, 30 by the time you're 18. So we have to do some investigation, I think, in terms of, you know, what's good, what's needed, what's unneeded. And plus they get money for every vaccine. So whenever money involved, you want to be apprehensive of what you're doing.
Well, can I just say something about that? So, like, the thing with science is, and this is where our people are lacking, right? We got to embrace science more, but we have to embrace the science that we study more, right? Like the problem is, like, we are a people in the predicament that we're in. We're reactive. You see what I'm saying? We need to be more proactive and study these things, how our own doctors and virologists and et cetera, you know, study these things and report that information back to us directly. You see, you can't trust the media. You can't trust the apparatus for studying disease and stuff like that. So that's one of the things. We actually have to embrace science. And the thing about science is that, like, science is something where you could come up with a law in science today, and that law seems like, you know, that's what it is. It seems like, you know, the environment or the world around us follows that law. And someone, because they continue testing, you know, this law, someone will come along and find that, well, it's not quite what we thought it was, right? And that's not a bad thing. That means that people are constantly testing their hypotheses, et cetera, et cetera. So again, when we embrace that, we'll understand that some things that stood the test of time for a while might fall out, and we'll find something new instead. But the problem that we have is that we get our information from the other folks who we don't need to get information from.
Word, that's powerful right there. Exactly. More push for black scientists and more push to embrace science. I like that right there.
I want to add to that is, you know, when it comes to the vaccine, when it comes to vaccines, you know, not everybody needs to have a vaccine.
Right.
It's just a matter of, you know, you just need a critical number of people to have a vaccine. So I would advise, you know, for black folk, you know, just let these white people take it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? I mean, not because, like, on the real though, because I mean, like, if you don't want to take a vaccine, just don't take it.
As long as you can survive it.
But, as long as you're economically good enough to do that. Like, if your job is not pushing you to take a vaccine, don't take it. If your job is pushing you, but you can't get another job or whatever, then obviously, you know, tough luck or whatever. But, you know, that's just how the cards are dealt. But the reality is that not everybody needs a vaccine. The way how vaccines work is that they slow down the transmission rate of this virus in particular, right? Or any virus. So it's not like everybody gets a flu shot. Some people get a flu shot. And of course, you know, some people, you know, are brave, I guess, or they believe in the science and they believe in that white smile. And that white left, so, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's on them. You know what I mean? But, like, you know, if you could just say, nah, that's not me. You know? Or if, you know, there's people that you don't like, encourage them to do it. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Like, I'll shop them, there's a vaccine going around. You know, you in trouble, you know?
Yo, that's an excellent yet terrible point, yo. Yeah. Encourage your enemy to take it, right? I have no doubt too that I want to say when the first vaccines roll out that you might see a placebo, man. That's one thing I would say also to kind of be weary of. As we know, they want to get us out there back shopping, want to get us back, you know, out there and, you know, economically stimulating this economy. I'll say one thing to be apprehensive of is basically them rolling out a saline solution. Get you back out there Christmas shopping. We know Black Friday coming up, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we got that. Some stores don't even make a profit until Black Friday and Christmas, right? So they're not even worried about the rest of the year. The rest of the year is a write-off. They're waiting for that Black Friday and then Christmas money. So I say you might see a saline solution. You know, just me and my conspiracy theorist mind thinking that something they might roll out, you know. So anything else we got on the second wave and the virus, maybe possible vaccinations coming down the pipeline?
No, not for now, no.
All right, cool. So let's move on to our next thing we got down here, which is the recent elections. Everybody's been talking about the elections that just went down with President-elect Biden, you know, winning the election. So people want to know why won't Trump concede and what could be the possible outcomes if he does not concede, my bad. So you guys got anything?
My bad. He's going to get locked up, ain't he? He has to concede, doesn't he?
Tis the question. Has this ever happened before in U.S. history? And to be honest with you, the experts don't even, a lot of the people who study political science don't even know what's supposed to happen. One thing I don't think people realize is that the Electoral College doesn't meet till mid-December sometime, and that's who actually elects the president. The popular vote is there, and they're supposed to abide by the popular vote once they get the electors. But in reality, well, up to recently, those electors didn't have to go with the popular vote. Now, there was consequences if you didn't go with the popular vote, and they expanded that. They made, in some states even made it a felony if the electors go up there and, you know, do something other than what they're supposed to do. Last election, I want to say like 7 of them, like one of them wrote in like Bernie Sanders, a couple of them, you know, picked different people, Kasich or something like that. And so after that, they made rules saying that, a lot of states made rules saying that the electors got to abide by the popular vote. So, I think the issue is nobody knows what's supposed to happen if, you know, the guy doesn't concede. Do they go in and take him out dragging, you know, kicking and screaming out the White House? Who knows? You know what I'm saying?
I think you just said it. Eventually, the electors are going to cast their vote. And Biden already has, I think, 290 Democrats who are going to be the electors already. So when they elect, when they cast their vote, you know, all he needs is 270. So yeah. If 290 of them are going to definitely say Biden, I mean, you know, maybe one or two might not, but it'd be rare. But if 290 say that he's the president, then that's it. It doesn't matter if Trump concedes or not. Because, I mean, like, some people are technically correct that, you know, because the election, like, the election, because essentially we voted for the electors, you know?
Yes.
We voted for the electors, and then these electors, so like, let's say I'm in New York, I don't remember how many it is, I think it's like 27 or something, I don't know, but, let's say if whoever got the majority in New York, then the, I guess the, I want to say the Senate, or the legislative body here, selects, you know, the Democrats, I guess, would select the 27 Democrats to go and vote in the Electoral College. You know, so it doesn't, like, so technically the election isn't over, the vote isn't over, so, you know, you can't really fault Trump on that. The thing is that, realistically speaking, unless, you know, 20 of these people somehow decide, or 21 of these people somehow decide to go against their political party and put his name in, right, he's not gonna win. You know, so it doesn't matter, like System is saying, you know, he probably just get arrested for trespassing if he stays in the, if he stays in the White House after his term is over. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just be up in the building. You know what I'm saying?
That would be funny. They arrest him. His ego. I don't know how his ego is going to take that.
Well, I mean, shit. I mean, you know, he's going to have to take it. I mean, I kind of want to see that. You know what I mean? I kind of want to see, you know, them people bodyguard, you know, guarding him for like up until like 12 a.m. Then it's just, I got it. That's
not it. Now, yeah, I know they got, I want to say that they have protests going on right now in D.C. It's supposed to have a lot of pro-Trump people down there. A lot of cultists, as I say. I think you have left cultists and I think you have right cultists that see no wrong in either person. And I kind of like to talk more so to people in the middle who can actually see, you know, right and wrong with both of these characters. But, I think you got a lot of the right cultists down there, and, I don't know if they want to see that man dragged out. So it could be, it could get very interesting, you know, as terms. But you know what? At the end of the day, I think the guy's a con man. I think him getting out the, you know, White House will actually be beneficial for him, because he can go on his $500,000 book tours. You can go on your, you know, talk shows for $50,000 a pop. You know, he's going to write a book. You know what I'm saying? That book's going to be a bestseller. Well, somebody's going to write the book. He ain't going to write shit. He's going to sit there and narrate, and somebody's going to, you know, doctor it up, make it look good. And that's what I think in terms of that. And I had a couple, I was talking to some brothers last night. I went to a little, you know, gathering out here, you know, and, what they saying is, you know, oh, he's gonna go to jail, he's gonna go. I said, name one president that has went to jail ever in American history. It doesn't happen. You're more likely to die than you are to go to jail. So, I don't really see that happening at all, man. And you have people out here blatantly breaking, you know, multiple laws, you know. We're still in Iraq right now, you know. And that's been proven. It's like accepted fact that that whole war was, you know, some bull. Yeah. And Bush is getting like standing ovations and throwing out the first pitch at, you know, the fucking Texas Rangers game. So I don't see it, but you know, hey, to each his own in terms of that. So, Reese, I know this is one of the things you was, kind of adamant on. You got anything about, 45 not want to, wave the white flag?
So this is my thing. So he actually didn't concede. Well, he did and then didn't. But I don't know. I think either way he's going to get locked up. But he's not going to have protection being the president anymore since he's done so many crimes. You know what I'm saying? Like stuff involving his taxes and sexual assault cases and whatever else he got going on. So he's probably going to end up in jail anyway.
Rich people don't go to jail in America. That's all I got to say. I don't think wealthy people in America go to jail.
What about the guy who had the island? What was his name?
Oh, man, that dude was a plant. That dude was a CIA plant. He didn't technically get sentenced to prison, like she said, he got killed. So
wait, he was rich though, right?
Yeah, man, he was in jail.
If you go back on his story, it is so crazy. Like I said, a lot of people that was even in like the finance industry, because he's supposed to make his money on Wall Street. Wall Street people don't even know who the hell he is. So, you know, they talk to a lot of Wall Street people. They're like, yeah, because people that are making big money in Wall Street, you hear about their names. What's the guy, Bernie Madoff, that went to prison?
Yeah.
People like that, they are very known in those Wall Street circles because you're going to follow their moves. Wall Street is a very, you know, monkey see, monkey do business. If you see somebody doing successful, you copy their moves, basically. And nobody even heard of this Epstein dude on Wall Street. So that dude's story kind of, we probably could do a whole podcast on his backstory if you ever watched any of those documentaries or whatever on him. Very fishy.
I want to say this, though. I mean, I do think he would go to jail, but I also thought he was going to die from COVID. And I also thought he wasn't going to win this election, so I don't really know with this guy. You know what I mean? Like, I actually don't know what's going to happen with him. You know, I was one of those people rooting for him. You know, after he got COVID, I was celebrating. You know,
how many did you lose?
When his brother died, I was like, that's the wrong Trump. Like, I didn't even know his brother.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I was like, that's the wrong one. You know what I'm saying? like, you know, get this dude. I don't know how he survived, but. Yeah, you know, so you're right. I don't know what's going to happen to him. I think he should get locked up. You know what I mean? But, you know, and not because I know anything he personally did. It'd just be satisfying. You know what I'm saying? It'd just be satisfying. But anyway, but yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with this dude.
Yeah, that's very interesting, man. I would say, I'm from Illinois, man. They have been sentencing the hell out. I think the last three Illinois governors went to prison or something like that. So if he was the governor of Illinois, he'd probably be locked up. But president, I don't really see that happening. Maybe. I could be wrong. Anybody else got any more on that man I want to concede or what?
So we always hear about, like, how these presidents are selected and, I mean, do we really still believe that this guy was selected?
No. I believe he's an anomaly. I think it was a mistake, yo. I think Hillary's supposed to have won that election, and it didn't happen that way. Which I'm not shedding a tear about anyway, if you know about Hillary, that's one thing I point out to people who are very advocating or whatever that Hillary. You have possibly the two worst candidates ever in the history of the United States presidential election. And as much as I don't, you know, like 45, man, ain't no way in hell I was going to go in that booth and vote for Hillary, bro. With what happened in Libya, where they, you know, trading black people like baseball cards now, I can't rock with that at all, you know, and she was happy about that. You know, if you know anything about the situation in Libya, they got open, 2020, it is open air market slave trade in Libya, right? That place went from one of the highest GDPs in Africa to open market slave trades, you know. So I couldn't rock with that at all, so.
I remember a joke from, I think it was 2008, where they was interviewing some dude, and they was like, who do you want for president? I mean, if you had a choice for president, and it was A, Hillary Clinton, or, and they just stopped him and said B. You know what I mean? I was like, haha, that's so funny. I mean, like, yeah, right, like anybody. And then it was like, Trump came, and he was the B, and he won, and I was like, damn. Like, damn. People don't like this one. but, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, like, I know what you, I know, well, this was back in 2008, and, like, people just didn't like him for some reason. But, I mean, not to say for some reason. Like you said, there's a lot of skeletons in the closet.
It's a graveyard in
otherwise. But, yeah. But, you know, even, I mean, like, we already lived through this Trump guy. I'm not too, you know, I would have preferred, honestly, because Trump was, like, garbage. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, like, we can't go back in time. Obviously, but yeah, you know, Trump was like, I'm just glad that he lost this time. I didn't know he was going to lose this time, you know? But, you know, because I feel like a lot of people just, like everybody just got effed up. Like everybody just messed up in the head, like sick in the head, you know? I hope we talked about it later about the ADOS and FBA, but them people came out of this Trump era, you know, just his disgusting, like, just, like, you know, I'm just saying, like, when Obama was president, it was like, they would just gave you a bunch of black folk. Like, they was just looking for black folk to put in front of you. You know what I mean? But then, like, you know, it was like, you could be watching, like, you know, like, I don't know, whatever, you know, whatever channel, and it's just like, oh, this is a black cat, black, you know, you're like, oh, you put in too much, you know, blah, blah. But then when Trump got in, it was just like, get your Edward. You know, I was like, look, man. I mean, with Hillary, if I would have just put a bunch of women at you, you'd have been like, okay, a little too much, whatever, but I got you. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not saying like you said, like I'm not really shedding a tear because, you know, I don't shed a tear on, like, you know, you don't cry over spilled milk. But like, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
It should have been better, but like, shit. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, but you know who's going to be extremely sad is the grifters, yo. Both sides grifters. You know, I see a lot of people make money doing a lot of Trump hating, a lot of people making money doing a lot of Trump loving. You know what I'm saying? They don't catch. If you look at it. What'd you say?
I said, and they both making t-shirts on top of it.
Exactly. I thought about getting my grift on, making some damn shirts or something, you know, getting in on this cash grab that's going on now. But if you look at it, man, a lot of people are going to, like, what are they going to talk about, you know, with milquetoast Biden in office? You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people are going to lose viewership on their platforms. You know, I think that's who's probably going to, you know, be the most upset about, I would say, his loss. The people who make money off pretty much the division, because people always make money off of it.
I want to say that, yeah, that's the truth, because I tell you, there's some people, after Trump lost, like, no, when Trump looked like he was winning, there was a bunch of people talking about, yeah, I knew it, I predicted it, see, that's the reason, blah, 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 you know, buy my radio, buy my TV, buy my movie or whatever, right? And then, like, when Trump came and won, they were like, ah, it's fake news. You know what I mean? When Biden won, they was like, ah, it's fake news, and oh, man, you know, this, that, so on and so forth, and it's just like, Like a lot of black folk were looking, cause that's the thing with us, you know, like, I tend to tell people social media is really like a media social, where you discussing the media, but also, it's like, you also kind of be like reactionary in the sense of, you know, you letting these white folk decide everything, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, to some extent, you know, if you bring in knowledge with it, that's fine, but if you're there, just trying to exploit folks, you know. What am I talking about? you got an airplane flying over you?
Yeah, somebody's in the hood.
Yeah, you know you're in the hood when you got airplanes flying around. You got fighting jets going through. You're like, oh, okay, just another turf war. All right, but
I didn't even hear it. That's how used to it I am. I didn't even hear it. So
I can't sleep without that. That's the, you know.
Alright, but I mean, like, yeah, the grifters was just like, and they still trying to profit off of this guy at Trump. You know what I mean? And you already know, like you said, like Trump, when he sells a book, everybody and their mama gonna buy it, read it, discuss it, you know, go in debt with it, you know, blah, 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 blah. But I'm just saying, like, hopefully that fool writes something stupid and he does go to jail. You know what I'm saying?
Man, like, I wanna say that dude pretty much saved Twitter. Like, Twitter was a dying platform. I want to say back in, what was it, 2012? What was the last election? I want to say he saved 2016. He pretty much saved Twitter, man. Because I remember, you know, I was doing my little stock investing and whatever. And one of the things they were saying is that Twitter was a dying platform. And once this dude was tweeting every 10 minutes or whatever, that stock raised. Like, he pretty much saved, I mean, Snapchat and Facebook and WhatsApp. All that shit was about to overtake, you know, Twitter at one point, and he pretty much surged that stock single-handedly with his constant tweeting, which I don't know how the hell he was able to do that being a commander-in-chief, but somehow he did it.
Speaking of which, just let us know what platform he goes on next so I can invest.
Exactly. Parler.
Parler. All the right-leaning people are going to Parler, yo. That stock's about to, if they ever go public or whatever, that thing's going to shoot up, so. You heard it here first. When you become a millionaire, just shoot a couple dollars back to the KWZ radio family. Invest in Parler when it goes public.
A couple is two, right? All right, gotcha. All
right, anybody else got anything more on that subject right there?
Nope.
Going once, going twice, sold. So let's go on to Van Jones. Oh my god.
Oh boy. This guy.
Oh boy. So what are our reaction on Van Jones crying on national television and saying that he feels a lot safer in Biden's America? I already know. I think I want to go to Goku first, because go ahead, man. I think you're gonna destroy this.
Yeah. So the other day I was doing some reading and I needed to look up the word sissy. And lo and behold, Van Jones' picture was there in place, right? Like, can they get this crying Negro off of TV, man? Like, we don't need our kids seeing this shit all the time. You know, like, there's two Negroes who I can't stand to see. I mean, I like them on a certain level, but I can't really stand to see them in big spots. You see Roland Martin and Van Jones?
Oh, man.
Oh, man. Like, Roland Martin looked like he was a little bit moist the night when it looked like Biden was taking the lead with the Electoral College, right? Like, he was talking big shit, you know, and really, you know, you can tell with these guys, and you know, this is the thing that really gets me too. You can tell with a lot of these folks that they're auditioning for a job. You know what I mean? So, Roland Martin did his own thing after they let him go from TV One. Van Jones was a wanderer until the previous election, when he started crying, and all of a sudden he had a job. So this is like a thing that these guys do to get jobs. And, you know, it's really not the kind of example we need our kids or ourselves really, you know, looking at all the damn time.
Exactly, exactly. Reese, what you got as a woman? How do you feel about, you know, Van Jones' display of emotion on national television?
I appreciate you for saying it that way as a woman, because hearing him say that, now he can see his son wake up in the morning and he can be proud. And I'm like, in a white man's America, either way, you know what I'm saying? Like, it just looked really weak to me that he would say that. I don't know. It was just weird to watch. I don't really feel like he needed to do that. Yeah, it was just too much for me.
Van Jones is married, right?
Yeah, how does his wife?
Who's, I think he has wife? A white wife. She must hold him after sex.
All right, hold on one second. I've been amiss. I've been leaving out. We have a new director of media relations, at the Harsh Reality Podcast, because she's the only one who pretty much will work for IOUs, because we ain't making too much money over here. But But she's been killing the fact checking in the backgrounds, and I think she got something to chime in on. So, Rye, welcome to the podcast, and what do you got?
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
I just wanted to say that in the year 2020, like, it's really disheartening to hear and see this, like, big black man just crying and bawling tears for this white man as his savior. Like, have we not gone anywhere? Like, what's going on? Why are you so emotional about this election?
And I think Goku hit it on the head, man. These people are auditioning for jobs. Like I said, him, Roland Martin, you could just look at these dudes and tell that, and although Van Jones got a little size on them or whatever, you could just tell that these are beta males, right? You could just tell that these dudes don't care. They trying to advance in their career anyway. They see fit. I don't know why anybody listens to Roland Martin at all. You know, you can't even control your cholesterol intake, but you want to tell me, you know, what your thoughts on things. You know, get out of here with that. But and I would also like to add, because I was following. I used to follow Jemele Hill, and I think she's the female Van Jones and Roland Martin, because some of the stuff she be saying, in terms of just male bashing, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, are you trying to get a job on The View? Try to be next to Joy Behar over there? Because why is that even necessary? And I think her husband probably can't even allow to wear boxers at night, you know, because it might be, you know, he might have to wear some lingerie, because the way some of these people be saying, you could just tell that it is an act, right? And I want to say Van Jones has a son too, on top of that. And it's like, do you really send this message out to your son that he is more safer than the guy who wrote the 94 crime bills America than he would be any other time? Like, why would you even send that message out, you know? So it has to be a grift, right? It just has to be a grift. And if you're willing to sell your soul to that point where you're willing to, you know, display this fake emotion, and, you know, anybody on mainstream media news, any brother, sister on there, you need to be apprehensive of off the bat anyway, because that's their job, right? that's their job, is to sell disinformation and also to, you know, push this agenda, particularly this demasculation agenda. And I don't want to say that, you know, crying is, you know, something that real men don't do, because that's not true at all, right? But you're crying for Joe crying, Bill Biden being elected 77-year-old white man being elected president of the United States, and this is the message that we're sending out. That's one of the worst things I've ever seen, you know.
apparently Van Jones's son is named Zaya Wade. I don't know if you guys heard that or not. Apparently Van Jones's son is named Zaya Wade.
No, you didn't.
That's terrible, yo. We gonna get banned, yo.
But the thing for me is, him having a son, his son is looking up to his father as the role model. You know, and it's like Van Jones is looking up to Joe Biden as his role model. It just doesn't make sense.
The savior complex, right? One of the best episodes I think I heard, Brother Goku with the Bit of Medicine podcast, was the War on God episode, man. If you haven't heard it, you're welcome. If you haven't heard it, go back and listen to the War on God, Bitter Medicine podcast episode, because that thing was pretty much indicative, I would say, of what's going on, right? You have this savior complex, right? And you're looking at this, you know, politician. And then one thing I pointed out to people, I said Joe Biden has been in politics since the first season of Good Times. The first season. We're not talking about like 10 seasons deep when they had JJ saying dynamite and dancing jigs all day, you know. I'm talking the first pilot episode. Half of that cast is dead now, okay? And this man was in politics. And you're now shedding a tear because he's elected? Come on, man. What kind of visual is that, you know?
Yeah, Ryan Jones is going to reprise the role of JJ in the live in the live revival of Good Times, right?
He's working on his dynamite right now.
Yeah, he's working on it right now.
So, you know, that's one thing I say with the savior complex. Stop looking at politicians. Stop looking at, you know, celebrities, athletes. Stop looking at these people as your savior. You know, only you can save yourself, right? And once you kill that attitude, once you kill this mantra of, you know, looking at these people as celebrities, that's why, you know, if you look at the left, man, it was some of the stuff they did was kind of insulting to me. When you got, you know, Cardi B conducting interviews with possible future, you know, leaders of America, that's just showing, you know, what politicians on both sides think of us. You got, you know, Trump parading out Lil Wayne as, you know, this lean doing, you know, druggy out here as, you know, endorsing me. And then you got the left pulling out Cardi B to interview people, and it's just like, this is what y'all think of us. This is the attitude that you have with black people in America. Just parade out anybody. Get LeBron James out there, and these Negroes will go vote for whoever you want, you know. And we need to kill that attitude, man. We need to kill that celebrity worship, kill that, you know, false demigod worship if we're gonna advance anywhere as a people.
You know, although I do want to say on that issue though, What I realize is that one of the troubles with us as a people is that because we don't have leaders, right, it's like you can't, like, I don't know what white folk could do if they wanted to speak to, like, if they wanted to quote-unquote speak to the community outside of, you know, these you know, Cardi B's and all that. Because, like, just being honest, like, I mean, I'm not saying that I only talk to, like a lot of the women that I engage with, for some reason, they on, like, Cardi B's Instagram already. You know what I mean? And, like, not, like, on her Instagram, like, you know, like, oh, they following her, but, you know, they don't really, like, they listen to, like, I was one time with the sister who was, like, listening to everything Cardi B has and watching every video she did. You know what I mean?
This so man, it's like, this man was cupcaking to a Cardi B soundtrack, huh?
I'm just saying, like, I mean, why, you gotta cupcake to that. No, I'm joking. But no, I'm just saying though, like a lot, like, if you're trying to reach the masses of people, you know, which is like the game of politics, you know? Because like the game of politics is that, I think it was like 76 million people voted for Biden. Yeah. 71 million people voted for Trump, right? If you're talking about reaching millions of people, right? the only people that you, like, unfortunately, the only people that could reach millions of people in the black community are these celebrities. You know what I mean? Like you're not going to get, cause I said, there was this one brother I knew who was grifting hard in, like, Philadelphia or something, right? And he's like, oh, you know, I'm gonna make sure that people in Philadelphia don't vote. And of course it was record turnout in Philadelphia. It's like, you gotta realize that, you know, the people that have the influence at that high level, that national level, just aren't, you know, let's say you or me. You know what I mean? It's not any of the, like, unfortunately, white folk took away our leaders and we never got them back. You know what I'm saying? And because of that, you know, like, the celebrities are like the close second, because unfortunately, not a close second, a distant second, but they're like still like the biggest, like we don't have a Malcolm X. You know, we don't have a Dr. King. We don't have a Kwame Ture. You know what I mean? We have, but if you want to see who people are listening to, like, you look at like you look at how many followers some of these celebrities got. Like, Kanye West says he's going to run for president. Has no chance. But even white folk listening. You know what I'm saying? Cardi B, you know, she's like, you know, her platform, like, anything she does. You know, if she walks out and talks about, like there's the Shade Room, like the Shade Room or whatever. Like, a lot of people make platforms off of just following these celebrities, because the reality is that's unfortunately what it is. So these white folk, even if they was thinking highly of you, the reality is that if they come and say, you know what, we're going to meet with Koku, right? We're going to meet with Koku, and you know, Bernie Sanders is going to give an interview with Koku. I mean, I'm not saying that people don't watch, you know, I'm not saying people ain't going to watch, but, like, compared to interview with Cardi B, it's like, you know, obviously there's a bigger platform. And the other one, of course, is The Breakfast Club. The Breakfast Club is one of those other quote-unquote larger platforms. Mm. That's why, like, Uma Johnson would, like, prefer to go on that over, you know, whatever. And Roland Martin's another one, new one, too. But, like, just to say that, you know, unfortunately, you know, for like we are not structured, you know, in such a way that, you know, like there's no real big there's no real big black leader that white folk could actually go to that black folk are actually listening to. You know what I mean? But in the hood, it's like, or not just the hood, but like in the middle class, everything, like every, like most black, like a lot of, like throughout the class of black folk, you know, they listen to Cardi B and they follow her nonsense. I don't know why. You know,
but that brings leads me to ask the question: these celebrities you quoted, like take like a Cardi B for instance, right? Are these celebrities organic or are they created by the media, right? Are these people actually talented enough to be in the position they are, or are they created? I think when you look at a dude like Kanye West is, you know, been creating music from scratch, right? Been doing beats, been doing things like that. Prior to him even becoming a celebrity, prior to him becoming famous, he was the dude creating, you know, Jay-Z's classic albums, right? So he actually has some talent, right? You take a person like Cardi B, how many people you know in the hood right now could do what Cardi B does? Like, you can go to any random Holding the Wall strip club right now, and there's five women in there right now who could be Cardi B's. Easily, right? And in terms of leaders, I think we do have leaders, but they're not going to be on TV. They're not going to be pushed by mainstream media. Right? You have people that's in the street that are leading protests, that are, have grassroots organizations that are mentoring, you know, black children, mentoring, different, you know, black men into leaders and molding these young men into leaders and things like that, right? But you're not gonna see those type of people on mainstream media news because that's not what sells. That's not what get clicks. And that's unfortunately where most people get their news, get most of their information from, is either the mainstream social media outlets or the mainstream news outlet, media outlets, right? So, I digress. I don't say there's no leaders. I say those leaders, we don't know who the hell they are because they're actually in the streets doing leader shit, right? They're not on TV pandering for these white folks, right?
Yeah, well.
My bad.
No, go ahead, Oni.
Yeah, I think that's the point though. It's like everybody that's on TV, like in order to be on TV, somebody gotta put a camera to you. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it has to be somebody's organizing for you or orchestrating for you to be on TV, and they only want you on TV, because you fit the profile that they want, you know? like when you talk about Kanye West, in fact, because I remember one time I was at this event and it was Fred Hampton Jr.'s son, you know, who was speaking. And so, you know, for those who don't know, Fred Hampton, you know, he would have been considered he would have been one of the leaders back in the day. He actually had a huge national following. And then, of course, they found his address. One of his guards gave the floor layout and they just, you know, shot up his house and killed him.
Right?
Yeah, but here's what Fred Hampton Jr. said. He said that when Kanye West went on TV and said, you know, he was sitting next to, I guess, Mike Myers or something. And he was like, you know, Katrina, and he was like, oh, George Bush don't care about black folk, right? He said that he was being pressured by, it was like the Black Panther Party or something like that. Some, you know, basically Fred Hampton Jr. and them were pressuring him to use this national platform to say that kind of stuff. And then after he did that, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theory, you know, theorist, but, you know, basically he changed his tune. You know, he went and married this white woman. And his mama got killed or something like that. Oh, mama dead, something like that, right? Now, I'm not going to say, I'm not a conspiracy theorist or nothing. But the why I say this is to say that, you know, they're like white folk, like you said, white folk, they know what they're doing. You know, they're not just going to put a mic in front of you and not know who you are, you know, mm-hmm. and not know how to push your buttons, not know how to manipulate you, not know how to get you. You know what I mean? Like, we the only people, I mean, and I would say that, I mean, like, even when it comes to, like, our own platform, right? You know, if somebody come on your show and they disrespectful, like, big time to you, you know, you kick them out. You know what I mean? So white folk, they know that to a T, you know? So black folk who end up on those positions, like you said, there's gonna be tons of Cardi B's, but, like, not all of them is gonna wanna do what Cardi B would want to do. You know what I'm saying? In order to get where she's at. You know what I mean? Or some of them might have some self-esteem, some self-pride. When I see Cardi B, like there's a video of her, no, there's a video of, like, her doing sound effects for, like, Star Wars or something like that. You know, like, this is something ridiculous, but she just makes weird noises. Like all the time, she's just, you know, like beeping and all that. It's silly, you know? Not too many people are willing to do that. You know what I mean? I'm not like a lot of people who might have the skill, might have the whatever, they're not willing to, you know, just go the whole dumb route. But Cardi B is, and that's the thing. And the same with Kanye. I mean, Kanye, I don't know what's going on in his head, but, you know, clearly, you know, something like they got him. You know what I mean? Like, they got him. And they have that. They said they did the same thing to Huey Newton, you know? Huey Newton was this nice, radical, you know, that blah, blah, blah. And then, like, eventually they just drugged him up, and he started being incoherent, and eventually he, like, dies doing, like, a drug deal or something. You know what I mean? Allegedly. But, you know, that's probably what happened. But still, it's like, you know, here's the leader of the Black Panther Party. You know, one of the a really brilliant mind, and then suddenly he's incoherent, unintelligible, drugged up, and then eventually he's doing, like, drug deals on the street, you know? And the thing is that, you know, we know wealth is fleeting because, you know, there's basketball stars. Like, I remember Allen Iverson is, like, you know, selling burgers or something, like, somewhere, like, what? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, white folk have a system, and, yeah, you know, so, yeah, a lot of people that's going to be popular are definitely made by them, but you know for this particular reason. So the celebrities, like, fit the bill for, you know, mass communication, but like you said, the people who really doing the work, they're not willing to sell out enough to get the work done. Now, I just want to add this because I have this PDF for Carlos A. Cooks. You know, if anybody's interested, but Carlos A. Cooks was like that. He was a brother who was Like they say he taught nationalism, like, before, like, black nationalism before Malcolm X. And the thing with him was that he didn't want to be on no white media at all. You know, cause he was serious about doing the work, so he didn't want to be on white media. And when they came along, like, somebody wanted to do some documentary on him. And he said, no, go over to those, well, he called them fake nationalists at the time. He said, go over to those fake nationalists over there. And who he was talking about, and the documentary, I'll just give the name, the documentary was called The Hate That Hate Produced, and he and the fake nationalists he was talking about were the Nation of Islam. You know what I mean? So like that was like a changing, like a whole world changing thing where he was like, nah, I ain't really with this white media. And of course, eventually Malcolm X becomes this huge, you know, star in front of white media. But, you know, it kind of goes to show, you know, that, yeah, the other people, the real people, you know, aren't doing that. And I could just say, you know, just to clarify, just so people understand what's going on, Malcolm X one time went up to Carl St. Cook's and said, when can we, like something like, when can we work together? And I don't remember it verbatim. You know, you probably have to look it up, but Carl St. Cook's was like, you know, when you have something to work on, you know what I'm saying?
But, you know what I'm saying? Malcolm didn't play, man. That's why I digress with a lot of these people quoting Malcolm, particularly if you quote Malcolm and you're using it to, you know, highlight a liberal organization, you know what I mean? Malcolm was not fucking with the white liberals, right? He wasn't really fucking with anybody. But that's one thing I digress with. Goku, you had something on...
I mean, if you go back to the 60s, right, and you go back to Malcolm X, you'll hear Malcolm X complaining about how they use these celebrities. And in fact, when I was talking about Ice Cube on one of my recent shows, right, I played the clip where Malcolm X actually mentions Dick Gregory, which is interesting. Like, he was talking about trumpet players and all this type of stuff, and he actually mentions Dick Gregory, which, if I'm not mistaken, they were friends. So he was like, you know, why do they keep pushing these entertainers in front of us? The other side of it is, why do we keep accepting them? Because, you know, at some point here, we have to understand the game, right? The game was always, you know, they call them stars, right? Celebrities are stars. The game was that they shine brightest, and so people see them, and so you could use them, you know, to make black folks think that they could come up and reach that level of LeBron James or whoever, you know, is the big name, Cardi B or whoever, right? But we gotta start understanding that we gotta start looking at and analyzing the celebrity in general and realize that the celebrity really doesn't bring anything to the table for us. You know, even if you look at, and, you know, not to digress at all, but if you look at Ice Cube's plan, which you guys talked about before, like, it's like introductory level type stuff, right?
Basic.
And so one of the things about Western culture is it tries to infantilize its members. And so, you know, in white society, they don't really push celebrities down their throat all the time. And I don't think white folks would even accept that too much. But in our society, they push it down our throat and we accept it. And what I want to get to some better understanding and some way of diverting the attention from them is why do we accept them all the time? The last thing I'll say is that I've always noticed that when MLK was around, he had the black celebrities around him, like kind of within the organization that he had around him, right? They did their part. But they never were higher than him, if my assessment is correct. And I think we gotta do something similar. You wanna be a celebrity, you wanna be someone who could help get the message out there, whatever, that's cool, but we need that leadership, as Oni, you know, alluded to at the beginning of his talk, that we need that leadership who everyone falls underneath, right? They're there to do a job, get the message out, right? And direct the attention right back up to the leader.
Exactly. Their job should be, I think as a celebrity, your job should be to highlight real leaders. That should be your main goal, is to highlight people that's actually putting in work on the ground, you know, boots on the ground. So I think that's a good place to leave off on that subject. So let's go on to the Sunshine State's finest. We got Governor DeSantis attempts to expand Florida stand your ground laws to enable deadly force on rioters and looters and those possibly blocking highways and roadways. And what do we think about this attempt to expand that Florida stand your ground law and what DeSantis is trying to do? Reese, let me throw that to you. What you got?
So I already think it's bad enough that we use the death penalty in America, but I think it's even worse when you authorize the use of deadly force over merchandise, over products. And second, I don't really think that, that citizens should be able to choose when and where they can use deadly force, because, I mean, I think the problem with that is you don't know where that person is coming from. You know, like, you don't really understand what their intentions are when they choose to use deadly force. And then it comes to the, it's more like, okay, I'm doing this because, it's like you're making a permanent decision based off of something that someone else is doing. It's like you're the judge, jury, and prosecutor. I just don't think that should be allowed at all.
All right. Yeah, that's pretty much. The thing is, I think it's pretty useless. I'm down here in Florida right now. They already have stand your ground laws for somebody taking your property, running in your house, anything like that. So it's pretty much just reiterating what's already there. And I think, like I said, any politician right now, you have this big push right now, right? I want to say, I work with a lot of, 45 supporters. I work with a lot of, more so conservative, you would say, people. I'm surrounded by them pretty much. And even them, when the George Floyd thing went down, even a lot of them who are, thin blue line type people, right? Even they was like, yeah, that's pretty fucked up, in terms of what happened with George Floyd and everything, right? But as soon as like they seen that police station on fire, they was like, oh, hell no. Like, we think it's fucked up, but nah, you can't be burning down the police stations, right? So I think what, Governor DeSantis is attempting to do is pretty much just, get reelected like all these politicians by pretty much playing into this, white fear of a black takeover, right? Black redemption or black retribution, right? And you all can feel that, it's always, that's most majority of laws we have now, in terms of like, or even back in the day, we had the Jim Crow laws and things like that, where they said, you can't have more than 5 Negroes gathered at one place. And all those was attempts at, delaying retribution or delaying or, killing any kind of retribution that may have come by the wrongs that was done to, the black American at that time, right? So I think he's just attempting to play off that old stereotype right there. But as far as like the death penalty, man, I ain't gonna lie, I'm all for the fucking death penalty in certain situations. You have fucking these child molesters and things like that. Hey, light them up. I'm all for that. I can't really agree with you on that one. But I will say that we need to be cognizant of the law, right? Why you're making this law in terms of, trying to counteract the protesting, trying to counteract the looting and the rioting, we also need to realize that these laws can be used to our benefit, right? Because you have just as many right cultists out there who might, think it might be all right to run up in your house, right? If they see your African flag hanging up, right? Or who might try to run up on you and your family for, the bumper stickers on your car and things like that. So, one thing we need to be cognizant of is realizing that these laws can work to our advantage as well. But the thing is, you have to have the right lawyer. You got to have the money to be able to utilize these laws, because they're going to come for you once you try to take the law into your own hands, all right? So that's one thing I say. Pretty much my thought on the whole stand your ground thing is I think it's pretty much useless. I think it's just an act of pandering by the governor. A lot of these governors are trying to pander to their different bases or whatever. So that's what I take from it. Who else got anything on that?
Oni?
Yeah, I mean, I think you guys covered it. It looks like it's just pandering, But I mean, I was thinking, because I don't know how it is where you guys are, but TV make it seem like a lot of the protesters are white, So I'm just thinking it's just gonna be white folk being treated like black folk now. You know what I'm saying?
I think it's gonna be white on white violence. If you look at like a lot of Antifa and BLM protesters, man, they don't look like that.
Look. I thought it was open season on us already, so I don't know. This law just seemed like it's going to be open season on white folk now. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Seemed like the same thing,
Yeah, that's crazy.
I thought it was already illegal for me to loot, right? I mean, I guess not,
Yeah, what you got, Goku?
Yeah, I guess it's a deterrent for the abolitionist type, right, from going out there and and helping with the rioting or the protests or what have you. But that's, you know, that just goes to show you something too about the country that we're in as well, right? Like, it's a country that's definitely not for you. In fact, in some cases, not even for its own people, you know? We, as black folks, we gotta be mindful of this too. This is something that Oney talks about on his broadcast all the time. You know, about getting out of this place, right? You know, ultimately, if you want to be treated fairly, it ain't gonna be here. And they proved that with all the attempts of passing certain laws to subjugate you even further, you know? So, I mean, that was my take on it. I mean, DeSantis just doing what DeSantis does. You know, he's doing what white folks do. They just make sure to criminalize you even more, give themselves more opportunity to take advantage of you. And that's really something that people don't think about or talk about enough. Like, if it wasn't for the laws and all this kind of stuff, I believe American society will be markedly different. You know, they have the military at the top, but I'll be honest with you. If I'm a regular, you know, as a regular black person walking around, ain't no white boy really gonna push up on me too tough. But because of the laws, that gives him, the unfair advantage. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, we got you. That's one of the things they say, the privilege, right? The privilege of, you know, being Caucasian, being white is, the benefit of the law. It's crazy because I used to know this dude that was in, when I was in high school, right? We used to have this dude, what the fuck was his name? Mueller. This dude's name was Mueller, man. And he used to go every day, he'd go to these stores, these different retail stores, right? Go in there with a duffel bag, right? Stuffed his duffel bag with different merchandise that he's stealing, right? Pants, shirts, whatever. Come back to school the next day and sell it, right? Now, I went to the mall, if I go to the mall just regular, I could be in a business suit, right? I'm getting followed around Old Navy like I want to steal their fucking cheap-ass pants and shit. But you have, you know, Mueller in there with a duffel bag stuffing it so he can come back to school and sell it the next day, right? And that's just, you know, one of the benefits of the laws, right, is that I'm going to be scrutinized harder for my mistakes, scrutinized harder just for being in the area, right, than, you know, a white counterpart. And that's pretty much how it goes.
Yeah, that's the country you're in.
Mm-hmm. So, anybody else got anything on DeSantis? We call him Baby Trump down here. Anybody got anything else on Baby Trump's attempt to expand Florida's stand your ground laws, or are we done with that? All right, don't hear much, so let's move on to the next one. All right, so this is going to probably be a good discussion. I was looking forward to the subject when I wrote it up, but the growing divide between the Pan-Africanists versus the ADOS FBOA camp. Can a compromise alliance be reached? I'm gonna throw that to you guys. I know you guys are avid Pan-Africanists from what I can tell. So what do you guys think about this divide? And can there be a compromise? Can both camps work together?
That's how you cope. compromise, not really. In fact, the way I see it, I was thinking about this last night, is I was actually telling my aunt this last night, is, you know, these guys have just thrown a complete monkey wrench in the proceedings, right? And I think they've actually taken us back a couple of decades now, too. The thing is this, you know, Dr. John Henry Clark said something. He said, you know, be proud of where you're from, right? Be proud of where you're from, but at the end of the day, be most proud that you're an African. And so what has happened now is we have folks who, and by the way, it's a failure on both sides too. It's a failure of Pan-Africanism. In fact, the show I did last night kind of spoke to why Pan-Africanism kind of stalled out. But, you know, it's a case of now we have folks, you know, our family in America who is so jaded by, you know, the events that occurred from the first slave ship, took the enslaved from Africa and brought them to this western part of the world, that now they're reveling in the fact of being a descendant of a slave, you know, or the enslaved. Mm. And, you know, that's really not power. There's no power in reveling in your ancestors' servitude, right? The power is looking back at where your ancestors came from and how mighty they were before the fall, right? And looking at what led to that fall, what led to the predicament, and trying to reconnect with that. You know, sitting up here, you know, talking big shit about Caribbean folks, like myself, or people from directly from the continent, you know, what is that doing for you except one thing? It raises your self-esteem. But, you know, and if you've been paying attention to my show, The Bitter Medicine Podcast, I've talked about that a lot, where, you know, if you raise the esteem of a people, right? In fact, can I tell y'all a quick little story?
Go ahead.
When I was growing up back home, right, we had a pigeon coop, and my grandmother was telling me a story that occurred a couple of a decade or so before I was born, maybe 2 decades before I was born. And basically there was an Indian guy, you know, from India itself, who was walking through the neighborhood, and he saw that she had these pigeons in this pigeon coop. And he asked her, could he scrape up some of the pigeon droppings? And she was kind of weirded out by it, but he was like, I'll give you some money for it. And she was like, nah, you don't have to give me money for no pigeon shit. That's some bullshit, right? So she let him go and scrape up the pigeon droppings. And he was putting it in these little glass tincture bottles and mixing it with oil or water, you know, whatever it was, salt or some shit he was mixing it with. And she asked him, like, what are you doing with this stuff? And he was like, well, I'm going to sell this to people who are sick. Now, the backstory to this backstory is this was a time when tuberculosis was rampant in the Caribbean, right? And so a lot of people were suffering and stuff like that. And so basically, like you mentioned the term earlier, placebo, he was walking around selling these tinctures with bird shit in it, right? But the idea of it, right, and his capability to talk up the tincture, right, raised the esteem of the people who were buying it. And they felt, I guess they felt some relief until they didn't, right? And so that's essentially what's going on. So what Black Americans have allowed to happen.
Hold on a second. That's the nastiest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, that's terrible.
The video was just like, what?
Yeah, but that's, you know, that's what happens. That's what you set yourself up for when you become desperate for something to uplift you, for something to make you whole, right? And so here comes the grifters now, right? When Tariq Nasheed and them were, when I first was introduced to Tariq Nasheed and them guys were talking about being Africans, right? And then being Moors and so forth and so on, but they go the way that the dollar goes, the way that they, you know, that you make people feel better about themselves. And so now you have folks on the internet talking about, you know, talking down on other folks, you know, from elsewhere in the diaspora, and it's just nonsense. And it's so, you know, I retweeted Yvette Carnell the other day. She's the other part of the problem, her and Tone Talks. And what they're doing now, they're cherry picking these instances of people being people, right? You know, people are, they're just the way they are. D-Web, you know, I might like you as a person, but there's someone else who mightn't like you as a person. That's just how it is. We can't cherry pick from the people who might not, you know, like you and then make you be this, you know, this bad person or whatever. But that's what these groups are doing, and they're doing it really to drive this machine. People are buying the little FBA flags and the ADOS shirts and all, you know, paying for conferences, and they're not seeing that, you know, like I said last night, the dummy is teaching the class now.
You know? Exactly. I think that's the greatest thing about social media is it gives everybody a platform, right? This global media network we have right now. The worst thing about, you know, this age we live in is it gives everybody a platform, right? So I think that's one of the things you're hitting on, is that pretty much the grift is real now, right? The grift is real, and it's no bigger grift than division. If you can drive division, you can pretty much make a good living out here. And I think that's what you have.
I want to say on that too that, you know, when we talked earlier about how we don't really agree with, you know, like, let's say celebrities or entertainers or whatever, but I think it's really important to realize that a lot of these people were entertainers.
Yep.
You know? Like Tariq Nasheed, like, I really knew about Tariq Nasheed. I was a little bit familiar with the fact that he used to be like a pimp, or he used to give macking lessons or something like that.
Yeah.
You know? But outside of that, you know, I had this acquaintance who told me that, allegedly somebody got into a quarrel with Tariq Nasheed, and he was like, oh, that's a bad idea. Tariq Nasheed is gonna clown them, you know? And the whole thing with Tariq is that he just kinda clowns people. You know, he's good entertainment. He's funny. That kind of stuff. You know, right? He's, you know, yelling, blah, blah, blah. But that right there is really, you know, what's going on. The fact that, you know, so when it's asked, you know, can you compromise? Can you come to a truth? Can you come to an understanding? It's like saying, can you compromise with Cardi B? Can you compromise with Kanye West? It's like, why would I do that? You know, like, these would be like D-list entertainers. You know what I mean? Like not A-list, not B-list, not C. I mean, I shouldn't even say D, but you know, they're entertainers, but they're just, that's it. They're in their little corners. I mean, you know, they have bigger platforms now because, like you said, they go by this division and they go by so on and so forth. But yeah, I mean, the whole premise of them is just a big distraction, a big waste of time. And frankly, I think that one of the things that we did as a community, is that we kind of gave them too much too soon. And that's why, you know, when this election happened, like, I'm not Van Jones crying or nothing like that. But like, when this election happened though, I was like, okay, you know, after all that talk, you know, cause for 2 years I was like, can y'all shut up about this election? Can y'all stop talking about this election? It's not even our, you know, it's not our election, blah, 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 blah. For 2 years they were talking about, you know, no vote, you know, no tangibles, no vote, you know, no this, no that. And I'm not saying those are bad ideas. I'm just saying that for 2 years you was typing this stuff in your little corner on the internet, and then meanwhile black folk had the biggest turnout ever. After all this chatter, it's like you are so politically useless, so politically unnecessary, and all that money you gathered, all those flags you sold, all those shirts you sold amounted to nothing. And for you to continue, like brother was saying earlier, you know, rich folk don't go to jail. Cause a lot of them rich folk that screwed up the economy, what they did was they jumped out of their buildings, committed suicide. You know? Like if you that wrong, if you that whatever, you supposed to just, you know, well, I'm not gonna say, you know, commit suicide, but you know, you're supposed to just stop what you're doing. You're supposed to reassess what you're doing. These people double down.
Yeah.
And so, like, right now, I could already, like, before, it was confusing to me. But, like, with Tariq, I'm feeling like this dude's getting paid.
Yeah.
Okay? He's an agent,
like,
bro.
Because the thing is that when it came to Yvette, there was some woman pulling her card, you know. They were like, oh, she's in this conservative thing, so on and so forth. And, I mean, another sister broke it down, too. So, you know, there's a sister named Jam. She broke down the whole ADOS stuff, too. But the thing is that a lot of these people are getting paid to, you know, just do all this stuff. And the fact that they had no impact, right, already tells me that, like, nah, they're just, like, what's the value there? You know, what's the value?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I almost want to say that FBA is almost like Black MAGA, right? There's a brother, I do the Black Talk Radio Network, right, Scotty Reed. So, you know, Scotty Reed was putting up something. I think he was talking, because he's super anti-Trump, right? So he's putting up something about, you know, what, their election or something like that. He was going back and forth with some brother about something, and the first thing out the brother's mouth was like, are you immigrant, or, you know, are your people from America or something like that? It's like, what the fuck? It almost kind of reminds me, like, you know, let me see your papers type of deal, right?
Yeah, some Gestapo type stuff.
Yeah, I'm like, what the heck they got to do with anything, right? And I go to his page, and sure enough, FBA, you know, ADOS all plastered over. I'm like, oh, there we go. It's almost like they're trained and they drill this into their head that black immigrants are feeding off the, you know, the struggles of your ancestors. They keep pushing that narrative, right? They also push the narrative that, you know, blacks sold blacks and all this other thing, which is, you know, true to a certain extent, but at the same time, you know, slavery in Africa was different than chattel slavery in America, right? So, you know what I'm saying? It's a difference, and you may not know that difference if I conquer your tribe, and one of our traditions is, hey, I'm finna profit and sell you as, you know, a indentured servant or a slave. You're not necessarily thinking that your kids is going to be slaves, right? You're not necessarily thinking that we're going to breed these people. So that's one thing they push this division. They push this whole deal. And if you look at globally, you know what I mean? I think I was talking to Oni about this one at one point on Twitter or something like that, that you're going to have a black world. You're going to have a brown world, man. The birth rates, if you look at all this other stuff, you know, you may disagree at a certain point, but you're going to have a brown world, man. And if you look at even, if we go back to celebrities, go back to basketball players, they like to call Giannis Antetokounmpo from the Bucks the Greek freak, right? You think this tall black brother was from Greece, right? You think he came from that area? No. They imported people from the Congo. Ireland right now is importing all types of people from Africa because they don't have enough people to even fill the jobs that they do have. Now, it may change with COVID, with jobs dropping or whatever, but you're leading to a black nation, right? And the strongest thing you could have is a strong pan-African movement, whereas I see you as a brother no matter where you from on this world, right? If you melanated, we got the same struggle. When cops shoot you, they don't say, oh, this brother is from Haiti, you know? Oh, this brother is from Congo, so we're not gonna shoot him. We're not gonna tase him. We're not gonna beat him. We're not gonna jail him, right? Black is black to them, right? But you still feel the need to separate yourself to that degree, you know? And I think a lot of it evolves around getting this check, this mystical check that's supposed to come, right? I personally don't see it happen. Because one thing I pointed out was that you're still going to work in their factories. You're still going Christmas shopping. You're still going Black Friday shopping. You're still buying up all the Nikes and the Reeboks. You're still watching their sporting programs. Why in the hell would you get a check cut? Where is the benefit to cutting the check? Now, some politician might come along and say that to get the black vote, because we all know how much, you know, they like to pander for our vote. But I don't see it ever happening. I don't see the check ever getting cut. You know, that's just me. That's my two cents.
Yeah, what I would say is, I just want to say this, that, you know, they, like, a lot of times when people grift, they have some good reasoning. You know, like Coco was saying earlier, in regards to this dude, you know, this tuberculosis going around, so people are looking for a cure, you know? So, like just to say, you know, they show you some data showing, hey, you know, black folk, you know, need some sort of economic infusion. And that might be the case. And then like they said, you know, the reparations check should technically, if there were this kind of thing, it should be particular and specific to people who like, if you're talking about reparations for enslavement, not necessarily reparations for Jim Crow, not necessarily reparations for anything else, but you're talking about specifically for enslavement, then, I mean, but even then it's kind of still tough, you know? Because, you know, I mean, I'm going to be honest, like, the records are not necessarily all that clear, you know? Because actually, I remember this one brother was saying that he was like, does he count as ADOS? Because, you know, like lineage-wise, because his family returned to Africa after slavery. You know what I mean? So like, they were enslaved here, and then, you know, by the time the borders opened, they was like, nope, going back to Africa. And so, you know, while they have the lineage in America, like, they went through that, it was like, was that considered, you know? And then, like, realistically speaking, if you go back in time, there was a lot of movement. You know, most people who were, like, a lot of people that came to America first came through the Caribbean and all that. But notwithstanding, I'm just saying that, you know, technically, if you could link yourself to a plantation, like, yeah, I would completely understand, like, you getting, you know, your own reparations. But like you said, it's not, like, it's unlikely that they're going to, you know, give any sort of significant reparations because, you know, when you're talking about trillions of dollars that they, like you're talking about the greediest people on the planet.
Yeah.
Giving away trillions of dollars. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, and because the thing is that if you give away trillions of dollars, right, to like people that's not, that don't already got money, right? You talking about inflation, you talking about hyperinflation, you know? Because like essentially, you know, you can't be in the state, you can't be a grocery store and sell bread for the same amount. You know, you can't sell bread for, you know, let's say $2, you know, a loaf, right? Yeah, I'm getting the cheap bread. Don't judge. But anyway, like, you know, you can't sell bread for $2 a loaf because then somebody's going to be able to buy all the bread, right? And so you have to raise the price, right? Now, if you raise the price then suddenly white folk and folk that are not, quote, that didn't get reparations, right? So that may be like Caribbean black folk, all that stuff, right? But they can't afford the bread now. If you raise the price, like if bread now costs $100, $200, right? They can't afford it. And if they can't afford it, then they go hungry, they working for nothing. Like all sorts of stuff is going to happen, like economically. So it's just, you know, like white folk, like greedy white folk who looking for money for themselves, you know, the same white folk that gave you $1,200 to survive for 8 months, you know what I'm saying? You know, they not going to just suddenly give it to the black population that they don't even like, you know, that they never liked, you know, and they're going to do that, and they're going to leapfrog over their own white folk that they don't even take care of. You know what I mean? Exactly. Like you go down to Wall Street. I don't really go down Wall Street. I'm not, you know, I don't got bread like that. But, you know, if I was walking by, you know what I'm saying? And there's homeless white folk, you know, begging all day. And these white folk, you know, just walk like around them. You know what I mean? But why would they, if they walk around their own kinfolk, why would they walk to give your people the handout?
Exactly. If you have nothing of value, right? If you have nothing to contribute to them, why the hell would they get you a handout? People like to bring out the Japanese American as an example of reparations being handed out. The thing about the Japanese American is we still have bases in Japan to this day. You know, same thing with Germany, man. If you go back to Germany, we have bases in Germany, you know, things of that nature. So why, if we have nothing to offer, nothing they will want, and we're already giving our production away for free, we're giving our entertainment value away for free, we're giving everything away for free, why in the hell would you get a check cut? And on top of that, and you brought up a good thing with the inflation, we don't control the means of production. We don't control the land, right? So let's say, for instance, I give every black family $100,000, you know, reparations. And that black family wants to go buy a piece of land in Georgia, right? You know, make a farm, plant things or whatever. And when they come to me, Mr. White Man Farmer that owns that land, and you ask me what the price for that land would be, what you think I'm going to say? Take a guess. Exactly. I know the check you just got cut, right? I know what you're bringing, right? And all I gotta do is outprice you, right? I'm gonna take all your funds, and that goes back to inflation, right? If they gave everybody in America $100,000, how much you think Escalade gonna cost if I go to the dealership, right? It's gonna be $100,000. I know you got $100,000 in your pocket. It might even be two. I might want some extra of your cash, right? It just doesn't make sense from an economic standpoint. You know, the only way it will make sense if you had somewhere else to spend that land or someplace else you can transport that wealth from this country to maybe another country, right? Your $100,000 might stretch a little further in a foreign country, but they might do the same thing. You know, they cut throat too. So that's one thing when I say the reparations, man. Yeah, I would rather have actual land. Like if you want to do a reparation type of deal, you know, chop off a state. You know, put your bid in to get your piece of land, right? Because land always goes up. Land is a limited resource. Fiat currency is not a limited resource. As you've seen with this latest COVID thing, when they did the stimulus checks, they handed out $5 trillion in imaginary money, right? It's unlimited supply of fiat currency. It's not an unlimited supply of land. So if you're going to pay me in anything, pay me in land. Don't give me no fiat currency that could be controlled.
Well, that's the thing that I want to actually contribute to that too, because, you know, there's two things there. Like, one person was saying that already, like, 99% of the land in America is already owned by some white folk, right? That's one. But the other one is, you know, like, when you talk about that money, you was like, you know, how they kind of grimy in other parts of the world, also other parts of this country. But, like, fact is that if you got money or you look like you got money. Like, let's say if you a rapper or even if you just got money. Like, even our own people is going to treat you different. You know what I mean? Like, and so, like, you know, there was this couple talking about their experience in Ghana where they, you know, but of course they went to the most expensive part of Ghana, so, you know, whatever. But, like, everybody and their mama a hustler. And they were saying they used to that, but, you know, apparently, like, in America, people just more upfront. You know, they're not, you know, whatever. But, you know, they used to everybody and their mama being a hustler. But the reality is that that's how it is everywhere. Like, if I go to Jamaica, right? Or, well, I heard, no, I think it was, right, let's say my mom. My mother went to Jamaica, right? She gotta put the accent on, you know, because if she don't have the accent, you know, even though she's Jamaican, right? Yep. Mm-hmm. She, like, even if they know she's Jamaican, the fact that if she sound like she got money, like she coming from, like, I guess here they call it, what they call it, over yard? No, not a Yankee. I don't know what it is, but if yeah, she sound if like she got money,
she sound like a Yankee, she's dumb.
Yeah, exactly. They're gonna charge her more. You know what I mean? So they were afraid that they were going to charge me more, but I never, you know, I didn't really care because, you know, like, I was a Yankee. No, that's why I was asking. Until ADOS happened, I thought I was a Yankee, so I don't know. But the thing is that, you know, everybody, if a reparations check came out, like, even that whole idea of, well, let's go buy some land elsewhere, you know, they, like, first off, that land, like, a lot of land in Africa out here is, like, vacant, like you know, anybody, you know, they ain't even whatever. That's gonna be high premium cost. You're gonna have to be the first one to leave. You know what I mean? You're gonna have to, like, if you see a reparations check coming, you should go buy the land right now and then let the money come in later. I mean, I know the check ain't coming, but I'm just saying they gonna raise the price, because if you coming through with a bunch of money, yeah, you gonna get played anyway. So I'm not saying that you. Like, I'm not saying you shouldn't fight for something that's not going to happen.
Oxymoron right there. You just gave us a definition right there. Oxymoron. Fight for something that's never going to happen, right?
You know? Even though it's not going to happen. But, like, if it did happen, like I said, like, people going to scream. Because anybody, anywhere you go, like, because even, like, me, like, when I have money in my pocket, I mean, a lot of people say that, some people might not. I mean, you know, no judgment, but, like, I might not always look like I'm rich, you know what I'm saying? But, like, if I got money in my pocket and I'm walking through certain neighborhoods, I kind of dress down, you know what I mean? Because I want to make it to the bank, you know what I'm saying? But that's just the reality. If news was that every black American got so-and-so amount of money, right? Yeah, that's it. That's over. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it'd be good, but I don't know who you're going to do business with, because everybody and their mama is going to try to get that money from you.
Exactly.
Like money, like, everybody want money. You know, and you know, if you want basic services, you know, or any type of services, you know, if you want, you know, whatever, they're going to charge you. You know, everybody and their mama is going to charge you. You know, you want a cup of water, it's going to be, you know, $5, you know, or 10 bucks, anything, you know? So, well, good luck with that. You know.
I feel like we've been neglecting the ladies back there. Reese, all right. Any one of y'all got anything to, you know, hit on the Pan-African versus ADOS FBA discussion or reparations in general, your thoughts on that, or, you know, hit me with it right now.
I just wanted to say that, I mean, not every white person in America has money. So, like he was saying, if you just dish out all these large amounts of money to every black person in America, you don't think Jim Bob down at the trailer park gonna feel some type of way and come after you for your money, for his life, of what you got? Like, yeah, I don't think that's a safe. What'd you say?
The ground law come in at, Rush.
Stay on your ground. Stay on your ground. You can buy all the good guns with $100,000, I guess. Maybe, unless they charge $100,000 for an M4 or some shit after y'all get that check.
Exactly. Price is going up.
Exactly.
I'd like to ask you guys a question.
Oh. What?
Oni, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, that's what happened in Black Wall Street. You know, like, black folk was looking good, and these white folk was like, nah, we ain't having that. And that was it. You know? And the thing is that, like, that's one of the things with America is that, you know, it's going to be really hard to protect yourself against these white folk if the laws, like, because a lot of, like, in order to do, like, or, like, just say warfare in general, you know, if you're having a shootout with somebody, you should have, like, zones, like you should have a battle, you shouldn't have a clear battlefield, you know what I mean? You should have some sort of, like, trenches, you should have buildings, yada, yada, you know.
Guerrilla warfare, yeah.
Yeah, it's, the thing is that you can't, like with zoning and the legal, like the laws over you, you know, like black folk gonna have to be really, really, really smart if they get this money. Like, we gonna have to, like, really, I mean, and the thing is this, that, you know, we ain't gonna be smart if the people who gonna be, if we gonna be following Tariq and them, you know what I'm saying? But, like,
Cardi B.
But, like, you know, like Cardi B and them shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, but, like we gotta be really smart, cause we gonna need, like, watchtowers, we gonna need fighter jets, we gonna need a whole bunch of stuff to get us from, you know, being, you know, from this white boy who's not gonna be able to afford stuff. Cause this white boy who might be working 40 hours a week, you know, he might have a pretty damn good, pay rate. But if he can't afford what's at the grocery store, it's like, you know, y'all remember when the pandemic first happened? And I mean, I thought the prices went up. But I know damn well there was no more sales. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, there was no more sales, but the prices went up on groceries. All the groceries were limited.
Toilet paper, like, gone and shit.
Exactly. Toilet paper gone. Like, if black folk had a bunch of money and we were the only one to have that stuff, you know, and these white folk couldn't get nothing, the stores are empty and all that, and now the stores got new management and all that. Yeah, right. You know what I'm saying? Like, exactly. Like, tough luck on that. You know what I mean?
So, Koku, you had something you want to throw to the ladies?
I just wanted to ask you guys from the Harsh Reality Podcast, are any of you considered ADOS or you know, FBA? Not a part of those organizations.
Oh, no, yeah. I'm not a part of the organization, but my grandmother's side is from, like, Shaw, Mississippi, and my father's side is from, like, you know, I'm from Chicago, but they're from, like, Mississippi and, like, Alabama. So I'm, like, 100% cotton picker, as they would call it. Right. So, yes, I would be considered ADOS, even though I don't, like I said, I don't rock with that ideology. I'm pretty sure Reese is pretty much the same thing. What you got, Reese?
Yeah, same thing here. I don't usually group myself into, like, what ADOS is, you know, standing for.
Exactly, but yeah, I think we are. I think even Rye, I'm pretty sure your people, you have foreign people, all your people from the U.S.
I know I got a little bit of Indian in me. Can't quite trace back to where it goes, but
red dot of feather.
Right. Feather, I believe.
I think we all got a little bit of that. So yeah, we all, as you say, we're considered ADOS. So, but fuck that shit they talking about. As far as I'm concerned.
Hold on a second. That means that, like, so, you know, just like when I invest in this platform and I share you a couple of dollars, you know, when you get the reparations, you know, don't forget me, all right?
I got you, bro. The check is in the mail, as they say, you know, in other platforms.
You can buy a loaf of bread.
Oh, I got toilet paper, bro. That's going to be worth $1 million. I think they already starting to hoard it again, but I think we covered that, you know, the divide between Pan-Africanism and ADOS. So what I want to do right now is I want to throw it to you guys, you know, if y'all got anything y'all want to plug, because we about to wrap it up. So if y'all got anything y'all want to plug, your platforms, your socials or whatever, you know, we can just go ahead down the line. I throw it to you first, Goku, if you got anything you want to plug or anything you want to promote, you know, give out your socials and your information, go ahead.
So, you know, I'm the host of the Bitter Medicine Podcast. You guys can find me on Instagram at the BM Podcast. You can find me on Facebook. You know, just search Bitter Medicine Podcast or, you know, Bitter Medicine Show. The thing I've been talking about the most lately, and I've been working on for some time, as you know, D-Web, is a big part of the problem that we have is that the reason why we could follow the grifters and stuff like that is because we have gladly, the group have gladly accepted, as I've said before, the dummies teaching the class. And it's time for us to change up, and, you know, especially starting with our children, change up this miseducation. You know, Carter G. Woodson was talking about that 100 years ago. And we still haven't really sufficiently changed that at all. And so a lot of our problems stem from, you know, that miseducation. We don't have an education that centers us towards being African, towards solving African problems. And when I say African, I'm not just talking about the continent either. Just as African people, wherever we are in groups, we don't know to solve our own problems. Like I've been talking about, the Flint water crisis has continued. And like, you know, because they're waiting for governments and stuff to fix, you know, for the government and politicians to fix their problems. When if they had the right education, say from 20, 40, you know, to 40 years ago, what have you, they would have already come up with some solutions for themselves. So that's what I've been pushing. If you want to, if anyone who's listening wants to help and you have expertise in some area, could be scientific, could be business, could be a trade, you know, some type of vocation, and you want to help out with building these modules of education, you know, just come, you know, just hit me up at bitter.medicine.podcast@gmail.com and let's start to do some work.
Word. It's a good way to leave it off on. What about you, Oni? What you got to plug, bro?
Oh, yeah. Peace, family. So I'm hosting the Pro Black Perspective here with the KWAZ family. I appreciate being here. It's very fun. You can check me out on YouTube at the Pro Black Perspective. I'm also on Twitter at ONITASET at Onitase. And as well, I prefer to use Discord now, because it's just a nicer platform, you know, less noise, you know, more signal. But outside of that, oh, also I have I'm an author, so I got the Book of Power. It's excellent reading. A lot of the black leaders of the past that we don't really get exposed to too much, like Carlos Cooks, Julius Nyerere, Tommy Nkrumah, of course, but Marcus Garvey and them, as well as, you know, like Afion Lafion and Yaa Santua, all that. So definitely, you know, if you can, you know, check that out, fam. But otherwise, you know, I'm just appreciating the space, and I enjoyed everything, and having been here. Thank you.
We appreciate you too, man. I need you to send you my copy of the Pro Black Compendium to be signed, just in case, you know, you make it big one day. I want to have that to grift off of one day. We appreciate you being here, Oni. Reese, what up? What you got?
What's up, y'all? So, as always, I'm going to plug my podcast, the Queen's Council Podcast. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. It's the Queen's Council Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. On Twitter, it's the Queen's Counts, COUNC1. So I have a guest co-host coming on. I got a few things going on. I got some things to mix it up, so y'all gonna like the changes. But yeah, just follow me on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter so you can see what updates are coming, when the next episode will be out.
Yeah, you need me to get me on that production side too. I'm kind of feeling neglected.
Don't do me. No, you can be on. I need help on the production side. We'll talk about that offline though.
All right, I got you. You know, I'm trying to get my grift on. And Rai, what you got? What you got over there?
I don't have anything. I enjoy you guys though.
Well, that's a good cap on it. All right, and I got to thank you for, you know, being our resident fact check. She's been doing her thing behind the scenes on the chat, on the text side. Make sure we don't, you know, get Joe Rogan and give y'all some false information. So I appreciate you being here and helping me out, particularly with the social media posts, you know.
Of course.
Always. And I have to promote, you know, my side hustle, my site. I got Hip Hop High Society. I just finished, you know, taking a master class in WordPress. I had to relearn that crap. So the site is back up, but I do need writers. And I also want to host a podcast. And we try to promote positivity in hip hop, because it used to be about positivity and used to be about promoting the culture. And there are some positive artists. There are some positive, you know, information and knowledge out there, and I kind of want to promote that in terms of, you know, taking back the culture. So if anybody's interested in writing for my production or even hosting a podcast, like a weekly podcast, hit me up and at theharshrealitypod@gmail.com. Also, we getting the Harsh Media Group going, where I'm looking for, you know, podcasters for different types of branches, different subjects, all types of things. So if you're interested in podcasting in general, just let me know and hit me up. We're trying to expand this platform, man. We're trying to expand everything, take over the culture. If Joe Budden can do it, damn it, I can do it too. So
absolutely.
Hey. Well,
so that's the next move. We're trying to grow this thing. And I appreciate my guest here, the KWAZ family. It is always a pleasure talking to you guys. Very knowledgeable. And, you know, my brothers from another, you know, man. So much love there. Also to the ladies, Rye, Reese, y'all always appreciate it. You know, coming through with y'all perspective, bringing that femininity. I probably said that wrong, you know, but excuse my Chicago mixed with South accent I got going on. But I appreciate y'all being here and joining us, and that's pretty much all I got. So on behalf of everybody, and shout out to El Miguel out there doing homework and take care of those babies. So on behalf of everybody, man, I got to say peace.
All right.
Peace out.